Enjoy Vachon. Or as the French say, Vachon. This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vashon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vashon.
Hello, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show coming to you live from Vashon Island, Washington, in the heart of the Salish Sea. We broadcast from the Gene Bosch Voice of Vashon studio in the uptown core of bustling and bodacious Vashon town and sweeping the airways of our diverse
well, that too.
Sweeping the airways of our diverse, equitable, and inclusive island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we the Briefly strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive. Blah, 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 blah. This is one of those mornings.
Is it Monday?
I should have had another cup of coffee.
You right should have.
Live by bringing you the weekly episodes of an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of more, less is more, more or less. Let me introduce the Briefly here.
Please.
Hurry.
Please.
Get off.
Yes, right.
Maybe we
How
should
quickly
inter-
can
maybe
I
we
exit
should introduce
this?
Ourselves.
Yes, yes, please. Yes, right. Our flight control board magician, Vashon Airport Commissioner, hopefully, we'll know next Tuesday.
Yeah,
right?
Next Tuesday we'll
yeah,
know.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll know for sure. He is currently an airport commissioner running for re-election. Recently returned from Florida. Whoa, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time.
And the longest serving Briefly.
That's
Truman
true.
O'Brien.
That's me. That's me. Yeah, for
that
sure.
That will always be true.
Always. Always.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. And then our legal beagle, mediator, Fulbright scholar, and rockabilly king, Craig Bellis.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. And then our part-time Politico fairy fixer. That's an interesting title.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you part of the mafioso? The Vashon mafioso?
I've always kind of dreamed of being a fixer.
Wow. Yes. Affordable housing advocate and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dre.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Good to have you. And our mariner, backpacker, rower, electric vehicle owner, and indefatigable defender of democracy, Kevin Jones.
Pleased to be here with everybody on a beautiful Tuesday on Vashon.
You know, I took indefatigable out of my introduction when I do it because I can never say it.
Nobody knows what it means.
I was pretty
right
impressed.
Up over there.
Pretty impressed that you got through it.
You rehabilitated yourself on that
yeah,
word.
Good, thank you. That's right. And I'm historian Bruce Holman.
Among other things.
Among other things, yeah. Today is what we call a Truman Show. The Brown Briefly began as sort of a general conversation among individuals, broad-based and wide-ranging. And then a while back, a couple years ago, we decided to start bringing in some guests, what we called small talk, that has actually become large talk, sort of most of the program with our guests. About 6 months to a year ago, we decided we missed that sort of banter among us as Brieflys, and so we've reintroduced it. And so what we're trying is every third or fourth show is what we call a Truman Show. And we call it a Truman Show because Truman, running the board, never had the responsibility of lining up a guest. Now we've changed that. He actually has
well,
to do some kinda, work.
Well, sometimes I kind of have to, yeah.
But every third or fourth week, we have a Truman Show, and that's today. So you'll get to hear the Briefly sort of waxing eloquently, maybe.
We will, we hope.
About current events on Vashon, the region, the nation, the world, and maybe the universe. Mm-hmm. But before we begin, the Brown briefly in our sort of wide-ranging discussion. Let's take a minute and hear about each of the Briefly's past week, and I want to know what your Halloween costume is going to be.
Yes.
Craig, you want to start?
Sure. I don't know what my Halloween costume is going to be. Lynette and I, we always wait until the very last minute, and then we go into our costume room.
It must be fairly large square footage.
Yeah, it is a large room.
We don't have a costume room, but we do throw things together quickly, and we'll see. The key is always something you're comfortable in and you can sit down in and you can talk in and you can breathe in.
You can go to the bathroom.
You can go to the bathroom. Yeah, right. We don't want to go to the bathroom in. One of those inflatable frogs.
That would never work.
Doesn't work real well.
Hopefully this year it'll be waterproof.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be wet.
Not the greatest forecast for Friday.
But
other than that, this last weekend just reminded me of how wonderful it is not to be in the midst of a pandemic. It was like one sort of dinner party or a costume party after another, and to be together with everybody. You know, the only downfall is the copious amounts of alcohol that was served.
Yeah.
And so we had that, and then I had a little project at home which I'm very proud of. I replaced the radio on my old Porsche and put a Blaupunkt in there, that looks like the original, but has all the new, you know, bells and whistles hidden kind of behind what a octopus of wires there was behind the dash, because somebody years and years ago had put in all kinds of amplifiers and extra speakers. But I got her done without blowing up the entire electrical system, so I was very happy about that.
Yay. Fantastic. Sounds like an engineering marvel.
Well, right? it felt like an accomplishment.
Amy.
Well, let's see. I had to look back at my calendar and am just, you'll be staggered to know that I went over town 3 times last week.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I know. Can you believe it? A couple times for this conference in Bellevue, housing conference in Bellevue, which was interesting. Always a lot to learn. And then after one of them, I went to there's this not shadowy, actually quite well-known organization called the Puget Sound Regional Council, which is sort of...
Shadowy.
Right? Yeah. Well, it's, you know, like, no, you wouldn't really have a need to know about it unless you did know about it. And they are actually very, you know, quite integrated with government in terms of planning, you know, many, many aspects of our lives, of our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so they had a transit forum over town last week that I went to, and of course joined up with some of my ferry fixer friends, and you know, we voted with our little glass marbles around ferry infrastructure, so that was great. Went to the Eagles costume party on Saturday night, which was great. Vashon loves Halloween. Mm-hmm. I mean, just shows up, shows out. Really, really impressed with the costuming there, and had a good time. And then last night went and to the fundraiser for Claudia Balducci here on the island, which was really interesting. I really enjoyed meeting her and was really impressed with the depth of knowledge that she displayed. You know, obviously she's been in KC government for a while, but about unincorporated Vashon and unincorporated communities and, you know, structurally the issues that we face, and had some, you know, it didn't feel like she'd done her homework. It just felt like she knew what she was talking about, right? If there's that sense. And, you know, she is definitely like, yeah, I have some ideas of how we can, you know, get you more voice. We have a path. You know, she has like, I know how there's been a path for funding for you in the past. We can set it up again. So I was really, really impressed to kind of hear her stump speech and talk to her about some of the issues Vashon faces. Carol Furch, I think, down at Point Vashon, which lovely evening to be down there. So really, really interesting. I might have jumped the gun there on our discussions, but that was a really great event to go to last night.
Cool.
What about your costume for Friday?
I do not do costumes.
Okay.
I know. It is.
You are a costume.
Exactly.
Come on. Who needs a costume?
I feel in both ways. Like I work so hard every day not to wear a costume. Right. Yeah. That's kind of my, to just be myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just have never taken to costume wearing.
You can wear a suit. And,
right?
That would be a shock.
Right? Or, yeah, it just, there's everything that, I will, though, I think Vashon is seeping in to my blood again, and I kind of get jealous of those folks that just have that nice, cozy, onesie. There was a guy walking around, he was, wearing a unicorn onesie, and it was, cozy, and it looked easy, and I was like, okay.
Yep.
That I could do. I just need, maybe it's the right one.
Not one with footies, though.
Yeah, right. You have to kind of cut those out because that's a little dangerous on Vashon. Or, you see those onesies with people wearing Ugg boots and whatever kind of deal. Yeah. So I could be succumbing to the Vashon, the Vashon way.
You could become the frog.
Ooh, I could do a frog. That seems difficult. Again, I dislike difficulty in anything that, makes it difficult to move through my space as a human. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly a lot of it has to do with using the restroom.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basics.
Make that easy. Yeah. They do have nice frog hats, though. I mean, just simple. It's a statement.
Homage to the ribbit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm.
So, Truman, how about you?
Well, of course, I was gone last week. I was down in Ashland, Oregon. Oh, before I tell you about that, I have to make a comment about Craig's radio. Years ago, I used to have a Chevy Monza Spider. It had a big spider on. That was the ugliest car I've ever seen, but it was cheap. That's why I had it. But I just put a brand new radio in it. I mean, I had it done. I took it to Car Toys or whoever it was, and it cost me a bloody fortune in those days to put that thing in. And I was so happy with it. I'd only been in there about a week. And a little old lady down in Ballard turned in front of me, and I nailed her head on. And an intersection, and of course destroyed my little Monza, so it was totaled. And so I had it was hauled to a friend of mine's gas station. And so I came up to him and I said, hey, if I come in here, can I take that radio back out and put the old radio back in, and so that when it goes to the wrecking yard I got my good radio? He said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I went down and spent an hour taking that radio out. Took me forever. I brought it home. I was so proud of myself. I couldn't wait to put it in another car. And I was going to take it downstairs. I had these suicide stairs to go to my basement. And I was going to take it down those stairs. And all of a sudden, my wife hears, crash, bang, crash, in some of the worst language she's ever heard. And she said, what in the world happened? I said, that radio slipped out of the box, and I drop-kicked it down the stairs, and there was nothing but parts flying off that darn thing.
Radio is not meant to be.
It was not. Oh. It was not. So anyway, that's my story. So now let me tell you about my week. I was in Ashland, Oregon for the Shakespeare Festival. Did not see any Shakespeare. We'd already seen all the Shakespeare this year. But we went to the cabaret, which we started doing about 3 or 4 years ago. And they put on a play called Murder for Two. And it was the most amazing thing I think I've almost ever seen on the stage. I mean, other than a Metropolitan Opera, come on, it's not that high. But anyway, it was two, a man and a woman. They played 13 parts between them.
Wow.
They played all of the parts. It was a murder mystery. He played two, and she played 11 parts. And in addition to that, they had a piano, a grand piano.
Some women would say that's
normal. Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. So they had a grand piano mounted on a swivel, so the whole thing would spin around, could turn. The two of them played and sang throughout the whole play. I mean, it was the most amazing. Wow. Show of talent I've ever seen.
And this was
a murder mystery.
How many of those characters didn't make it to the end of the play?
Actually, all of them. The murderer happened to be a ghosty person. I mean, it was mm-hmm. invisible person, and the person who was del Muerto was not even there, and they just talked about it.
Okay, I thought maybe, you know, the 11 roles that she
But I'm telling you, it was truly amazing, truly amazing. I'll just tell you two more quick things. The other place we saw was Quijote Nuevo, which is a takeoff on Don Quixote, so a modern version done in in the Mexican Southwest U.S. scene. Really excellent. Costumes are amazing. And then we saw Shane. Do you remember the old movie?
The movie? Sure.
1957?
Shane.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. It was the most stark set you've ever seen. There was very little on the stage, but you saw everything. I mean, it was so well done. And they had the young boy, the Shane boy, was an adult, was the narrator, and then he would switch back to the young boy. Really an excellent production. So anyway, that was my week. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good week.
It was phenomenal.
You make a good point, and people should remember that, and that the Shakespeare Festival is not all Shakespeare.
Oh, no.
There's got wonderful contemporary plays down in Ashland, Oregon. So.
And they try out stuff. They did a whole series called the American History Series or something like that, where there were plays that were written for Ashland. I mean, they were written for that production. And they were just beyond belief. They were so amazing. But anyway, Bruce, how about you?
Well, we're not going to let you escape. You haven't talked about your Halloween costume yet.
I'm an Amy kind of person.
I love costumes. I love Halloween. I so appreciate.
Well, I can tell my one story that I've told probably every year at Halloween. When Molly was a little kid, we were trick or treating up on Capitol Hill. Well, we went to a Halloween party that night, and my wife wore my airline uniform, and I wore a dress with the wig and the whole works, pantyhose, which, by the way, I really respect women. Pantyhose, not for me. But anyway, we were standing out on the sidewalk when Molly went up to this door. And she's trick-or-treating, and the gentleman at the door looked out and said, "Oh, is that your dad? Is that your dad there?" And Molly goes, "No, that's my mom. She's wearing my dad's clothes, and he's wearing hers." And he goes, "Oh, I hear that's going around." Of course, she and I just fell down laughing. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah. It's catchable, yeah.
It's catchable, out, yeah.
Right, yeah, right. So, Kevin, what's your week been like?
Let's see. My week's been full of planning and executing on the upcoming election. So, the No Kings 2 protest last week, we had Brian and James on, and the Ricards threw an awesome protest celebration party at their house with pizza ovens and out on the porch with the wood burning fire out there and view of the bay so over Quartermaster Harbor. So that was fantastic. On that water, by the way, you know, it's kind of getting to be wintertime, so the wind is making that water move around quite a bit. But we were really fortunate to have snuck in a row. We were not sure what the wind was going to do. By the time I was driving home, there were white caps south of Burton Peninsula. I mean, significant white caps. But we made it about halfway out to Manzanita Buoy before turning around and racing for home on beautiful water and a spectacular day with like five boats. So it's a good sized crowd. But I've been going not over town, but on the other direction, you know, over water to knock on doors in the 26th Legislative District, Gig Harbor, Bremerton, Port Orchard, and Deborah Krishna Dawson. And I had a chance to meet the candidate last week. So she is definitely deserving of representing the folks in the 26th, and they seem very happy to be supporting her. So that was really nice to see.
Cool.
And my costume, the only last costume I wore was a ballot box. I do still have it. It's hard to use the restroom when you're in the ballot box. Unfortunately, you don't have to do a clothing change to get out of the thing.
There you go.
But I'm not a big costume person either. But when it could be
cheese stands alone.
The Halloween row, assuming we can get on the water, I think, and I might have to sport something other than just a regular, So we'll see how that goes. Right.
I did go to the Witch's Paddle, speaking of the water. Yeah. Yes, I did go to the Witch's Paddle. And I mean, it just sort of, they must have cast a magical spell because it was supposed to be gnarly weather and it was gorgeous Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just until right about they got to shore, it started
that
whipping
was
up.
Saturday when I was talking about too. Yeah, it was a magic day.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, my week, spent a lot of time going to doctor's appointments, which happens every once in a while, but also sort of getting the grandkids ready for Halloween. You know, my 7-year-old, 8-year-old, he'll be 8 on November 1st, so on Saturday he'll be 8. He's going to be Ron Weasley.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. And the 4-year-old wants to be a stormtrooper.
Oh, you know,
from Star Wars. He's very much into Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like getting him to understand that Star Wars, stormtroopers and ICE agents have certain things in common.
No.
It's not really easy to do. He's still enamored with this whole...
That fellow who was playing it got arrested, I think, didn't he? Behind the ICE agents?
Yes.
They didn't. The ICE agents don't seem to have much of a sense of humor, from what I can gather. They're pretty prickly about things like that. But and then also just watching baseball. Watching the Seahawks last week sort of take on the Texans. And then watching the Texans beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
Sort of like, okay, there's some hope. Seattle's at the top of the division right now. Yep. So they've got some hope. But watching the playoffs with the Mariners. And then last night's 18-inning baseball game.
Did you make it all the way?
I did. Well, yes, but I dozed off occasionally about the 15th and the 17th.
You didn't miss a darn thing.
But I was awake for the 18th.
The crowd would cheer. You come right. That's what happened to me.
Watching the game. I went to bed at 11:11. I happened to look at the clock, and I left the 17th inning. I said, "That's it. I can't take any more."
It was exciting. So it's fascinating to think in those kind of struggles, how are both teams going to come back? What is tonight's game going to be like?
Yeah, and Ohtani's going to be pitching tonight.
Just amazing. And I think he broke a World Series record. He was on base, seven or eight times?
Seven times.
You know, most of them walks.
Intentional walks.
They sort of intentionally walked him because they didn't want him swinging the bat, but... so it's been exciting, but
I have to tell you one costume thing that I talking about costumes. I just saw this recently. It was a little kid. He was like 4 or 5, and they asked him what he wanted to be for Halloween, and he said he wanted to be a fart. and his mother said, "Oh no, we can't do that." But anyway, he said, "No, that's what I want to be." He made his own costume. He had this brown frilly stuff all around him. Yeah, it was like a cloud, And all the little kids thought it was so cool. They all wanted to be one. I saw a picture of the kid. It was priceless.
That Etsy catalog.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I saw that too.
Did you see that?
That'd be great.
Wasn't that the cutest thing?
Now, if we can only get Trump to wear it.
Oh yeah. Well. He goes a little past that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That aura just proceeds.
Yeah.
Okay, so today is the 28th of October, a special day like all days, but two interesting sort of things in history. One in 1886, the Statue of Liberty was dedicated. So very appropriate to sort of consider Emma Lazarus' poem, the new Colossus, about give me your tired, give me your poor, that's yearning to be free. And it's sort of like interesting to sort of consider what that meant in 1886 and what it means today and how America sort of approaches immigration, 50 years later, basically. So interesting. Have any of you visited the Statue of Liberty?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you think? Amy, have you been there?
No, I have not. No. I've seen it. Have not.
Yeah. Craig?
It's moving. It's something else when you think that is some statue that was built in 1886. And at the time that I've been there a few times, actually. But today if I went there, I think I'd cry. I mean, it's, do we need to send it back? You know, but it and Ellis Island has a wonderful computer set up to do some research on your relatives who may have come across. Like I had some relatives come across from Europe right at the turn of the last century, 1900. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful visit.
Yeah. Kevin.
Yeah, I remember the ferry ride. I was visiting my sister who lived briefly in New York City. So that was fun to go and tour the bay and check out the statue. But the thing that always comes to mind when I hear about the Statue of Liberty is a door that I knocked several years ago in Port Orchard. A woman who was probably in her 70s at least, who talked about as a child, her father would take her to the Statue of Liberty. They lived in New York, and that they would go and pick up trash. And she asked her dad, why are we doing this? And he says, we came to this country, they had open arms for us. We should be respectful of the symbol of their being willing to embrace us. Mm. And so some things we will never forget, and that's one for me.
Mm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's great. Truman, how about you?
I've gone by on the Staten Island Ferry, but that's about it. I haven't actually, and I've flown over it, of course, a bazillion times going in and out of Newark, but not directly over, but you can see it, of course, from the air. So I have not been there.
The other interesting date is in 1965, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis was completed, and you know, it's a very simple cantilevered arch.
Cantilevered?
Catenary. Catenary. Thank you. That's the word I was looking
bullion.
For. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Bullion curve.
Yeah. Apparently, the designer, when he was considering it, held up a piece of string.
Oh.
And if you hold up a piece of string, it creates that kind of arch. And that was his inspiration.
Wow.
But it's interesting to think in 1965, that was a monument to American westward expansion and sort of the conquest of the continent. And St. Louis, of course, was the gateway to much of that. And how, in a period of, 60 years, attitudes about westward expansion have shifted, although some want to recapture the old spirit of westward expansion. Mm. But many look at it as a mixed blessing, and certainly a devastation for large indigenous populations around the country. So interesting to sort of bookend a day like today with the Statue of Liberty and its welcoming kind of presence, and the Gateway Arch and that sort of representation of manifest destiny in American westward expansion.
Have you seen Ken Burns' Buffalo? I think is amazing.
It's a great series. Yeah.
Has anybody been in the arch?
No.
I have been to the top of the arch.
Really?
Right?
You're
yeah. And if you're claustrophobic, it's not something you want to do.
The barrels that tilt as it goes up and you're inside there and your little tiny windows.
Yeah, exactly. It's because at the top of the arch, it must not be much more than 20 feet at the top. And they have this sort of little railroad cars that you get in, and they're very small. And as Craig said, they sort of tilt as it goes up until you get up to the top, and it's sort of like, wow. But it's spectacular. I mean, St. Louis is relatively flat. So.
Right. You can see Seattle from the top.
Almost. It's like the old New Yorker cover, right?
Yeah. If it weren't for the Cascades. The Cascades and the Rockies, you'd have it, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So enough about history. Let's talk about what's happening on Vashon. So, Kevin, there is an event going on tonight, correct?
There is. Political Heroes number 3, Fred Korematsu, a Japanese-American who during the Executive Order 9066 during World War II decided that no, he was going to decline that offer to go to a basically a prison camp. And so Dr. Larry Hubble, who we've had on the show, of course, will be talking about that history. I'm also looking forward to Dr. Joe Okamoto, who will be sort of chatting with Larry before the show starts. And the wonderful thing about the conversations with Joe and Larry leading up to that is asking Joe what he wants people to have in mind as they hear this story. Mm. So Joe will be there to relay that from his perspective. What's the important things to keep in mind as we go back and listen to that history? Joe and Larry will both be available for Q&A at the end. Joe was 3 years old at the time. Wow. When he and his family were taken to the camps. So we also have, let's see, doors open at 6:30. It is the Vashon High School Theater, not the one in town. That's High School Theater. The Free Range Freedom Choir will be able to sing starting about 6:30. So come by and check them out. Hear Dr. Okamoto and Dr. Hubble talk about this fascinating history where essentially the case against Fred went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sided with the government in what Larry says was judged probably in historically the most racist decision the court has ever made. Wow. So far. Still a chance. Jenna Riggs, who is with the Immigrant Refugee Rights Group, will close to talk about what people can do today in the face of the the targeting of immigrants and refugees in this country. So lots of opportunity to listen, learn, get some history, and be able to connect with people who lived that history, but also with people who are now doing something about it.
Great. Good. Amy, anything going on for you on Vashon that you want to...
Well, you know, it is Vashon Halloween coming up on Friday, per usual, and we'll hope that the witches cast another good spell for that. Give us a brief window reprieve of it. And I see I'm down here to talk about Rocky Horror, which I am... thrilled to do because my good friend Kat Rouse Riley is in it. And of course, Mr. Basha is all involved in it and directed by the wonderful Brooke Osment. So highly recommend you go see it. I'll be there on November 1st for closing night. But I have yet another confession that might get me escorted right to the boat here from Vashon, which is I cannot stand the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I know. Here, breaking news, everyone. And again, the gay community is about to kick me out. The Vashon community is about to kick me out, right? All the show folk. I could
name a few people who you stay woke and keep looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm, right. Exactly, right? That and the costumes. And also,
it's also an acquired taste.
It is. It is. I have my own personal feelings about it, but I also acknowledge what an iconic production it is. And I am so thrilled to go support my friends who are putting it on and cheer them on.
I saw a stage production of it years and years ago in Pioneer Square, mm-hmm. a little tiny theater. It was the most outrageous thing you can imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was hilarious, to admit.
I think my understanding is that Brooke has really reinvented this and is bringing a whole new. So I really look forward to that. So I would say whether you're a fan of Rocky Horror or not, you should get on down to the VCA and check it out because I think it will be an entertaining time.
You still have Dr. Frankenfurter, Janet.
Reimagined, but understood. Yes,
Susie and I are going.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I remember it's so I was going to UW when Rocky Horror. I mean, how many years was it that you could go to the Guild 45th Theater?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right.
Like
and
every
so,
Friday night or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for me, that was, walkable distance, right, from where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd arrive, and the people who were at the head of the line, right, were all in costume.
Yeah.
And it was, they filled the front seats.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting behind them as the movie's going on, and the portrayals of the various actors playing out right in front of the screen by the people who would get up out of their seats in their costume and basically mimic what was going on screen. It was fantastic to see. So who knows on Vashon?
Yeah.
You know, maybe this could reoccur.
Well, I think it's going to be a great time.
It will. So, you know, break out your fishnet stockings. And,
yes, of course. Yeah, right. The one time of year. The one occasion on which. Yeah. No, but definitely encourage folks. And, you know, just part of a great Halloween fun weekend. Come on. Yeah. What a perfect thing to put on for Day of the Dead.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I always found it fascinating at the Guild 45 is that you'd have that Rocky Horror, and then a couple weeks later you'd have the Sound of Music. Yeah. Same phenomenon.
Every juxtaposition.
So sort of like, where am I?
The diversity of the university and Wallingford community on full display. So, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. But there is some appeal of dressing up and singing along, I guess, with all those things.
Yeah, crazy things.
Sure. So, Truman, did you survive the windstorm?
Well, yeah. You know, I have skylights in my house, and I have big fir trees all around my house. And every time there's a storm, I say, I got to take that fir tree down. I got to take that fir tree down. Because if it goes, it's going to take out the whole corner of my... I mean, if it goes away from the house, the root ball is going to take out the whole corner of my house. And I did get one big branch that hit the... We were getting ready to go to bed upstairs, and I hear this crash, and I said, you know, maybe we should sleep down here in our chairs for a little while. And finally, about 1 o'clock, the wind settled down, and we finally got to bed. But yeah, you know, about a year ago, I started carrying an electric chainsaw in my pickup. And had I gone out early, I would have been using it down 204th, because there were trees down 204th, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 of them. I mean, I could tell where all the debris was left, you know. But, yeah, we came out okay. No power failure. I think only one area on the island, or maybe two small areas, had power failures.
Spring Beach, Redding Beach.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Mm-hmm. Well, so that was cool.
Ellisport lost power.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Just one little, two little sections, two separate little sections in Ellisport. And a couple other areas on the island, but not much. It was interesting.
We lost it for maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah, it sort of blinked on, blinked off. Yeah,
had to go reset all the clocks. You know, that kind
there
of
were
stuff.
Some powerful gusts.
Oh, yeah.
I miss the days of losing power. I mean, 20 years ago, we would have been out without power for like a month.
Week.
Right? Yeah. No, but I do. I kind of have those golden memories of being a kid. Of course, you know, I didn't have to struggle with going to work or all of these other things. But, you know, just being home and you're without power. And kind of, you know, ratcheted down, cooking on the camp stove.
You used to be considered wimpy on this island if you had a generator.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why do you need a generator? You have everything you need, right? Sure. You got your wood stove, you got your camp stove, you got, you know. If you're on a well, now that's a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
I was in places where we were on, you know, a well, and that was a trickier survival tactic.
You start filling the bathtub when the wind starts. So you got a full bathtub. That way you can flush the toilet, you know, and that kind of stuff.
But I'm with you. The notion that here we have this power outage and there's this blissful silence, except for the wind, which is kind of awesome too, you know, to hear the nature stirring, and then boom, 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 up comes the generators. And
so
much for that.
And then just whoop, there, everything's back. You know, I miss you going up to, you know, going uptown to the one place that might have power, you know, or going over to a friend's house, even if they didn't have power, just because, like, you know, it's like kind of that fun occasion, like when it snows. Yeah. Right. So, that wind gets my nostalgia up a little bit.
So, Craig.
Well, you know, Truman reminded me of it, that you're talking about wind. Did you see the news this morning, right now in Jamaica, the powerful winds?
Yeah. Category 5.
185 with gusts of 220, 225.
Well, they say it's the largest storm on the planet right now. Yeah.
It's the second largest storm right now ever recorded.
Yeah.
And they had a meteorologist on television this morning talking about we really do need a Category 6.
Wow.
Because now the storms are getting much more serious than they have in the past.
Is it the ocean's heating? Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, it was a Category 5 that chased my sister out of her abode on St. John.
Oh,
she
yeah.
moved and spent 4 years in New Orleans where hurricanes chase her around on the
just
mainland.
Just wherever she goes.
right.
Tell her not to come to the Northwest.
You don't yeah. ever move that place.
Her story of that evening, which was like, you know, 20 hours of darkness, and yeah. they were sheltered in a... at a hotel, you know, because it was a structure that they thought could survive the winds. And halfway through, during the calm of the eye, they moved to a different part of the building to shelter in the lee of the changing wind. And that next morning, the part where they had been had turned to rubble.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I mean, the power of those is something to take into, you know, seriously, very seriously, yeah. even more so now.
Oh, yeah. But returning to Vashon Island, according to one post on Facebook, we have a cougar back on.
Oh, that's right.
Back on board.
Mountain lion's back.
Yeah, yeah, we got one. Oh. Supposedly that was filmed at the high school on the field out there, and which is, you know, not uncommon for Vashon. We had one on the island for almost a year.
Yeah,
right.
Which unfortunately met a unfortunate demise upon its capture. But yeah, once again everybody needs to get educated about how to deal with the mountain lions and not be afraid that if they take somebody's sheep, they're that doesn't mean they're going to take somebody's little kid. You know, they mountain lions are smart enough to distinguish between people on four. Don't walk around on four on your hands and knees.
Yeah. That's right. Watch that costume.
Watch your costume.
Okay.
No small animals.
No little Bo Peep costume.
That's right. So we'll see how much, you know, how much notoriety and how long this particular cougar sticks around.
I hope that the Vashon Cougar Facebook page is resurrected because that was a great ride.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I particularly like the sighting, you know, tracing the cougar and where it's at. Mm. And, of course, the thing can, you know, within 2 days can cover the whole island. Oh, so sure. It's not like you can keep that up very long. But
yeah.
It is great to see the fact that we are living here with. As a matter of fact, I was driving into town the other day thinking, where else could I live where whenever I leave my house, I'm like driving in a forest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you never leave the forest, really. I mean, you can get out in a clearing. But it's a pretty amazing thing about where we live here.
I've told this many times, but about my Spanish friend visiting here, when I'm taking it around, showing him parks, and finally he said to me, Truman, why do you have parks? And I had to explain. He finally said, you live in a park.
Yes. Yes.
And I saw one morning he was standing on our porch, and I saw him standing looking at this fir tree that's not too far from our front door. And I could see him just looking up and up and up and up like, whoa, you know, thought that was mm-hmm. pretty impressive.
We are blessed, that's for sure. So let's move away from Vashon. It's interesting. You know, there's sort of two major approaches to the way you look at history. And one, the classic British way is you start with the village green, and then you move to the village, and then to the county, and then to the country, and then to the continent, and then to the world. You know, and the other sort of approach was very popular in the U.S. through much of the 50s and 60s and 70s was, well, you start with the world, and then you work back in. So we're taking the classic British approach. We started with Vashon. Now let's move to King County. Kevin, sort of regional sort of stuff. So, Kevin, what's going on with King County and sort of this strategic climate action plan?
Well, we're going to hear from Teresa Mosqueda when Truman keys this up. But speaking of the park that we live in and protecting it, one of the threats is the climate change. And so King County does have a newly approved strategic climate action plan. And there are roles for Vashon Maury Island organizations to shape how those actions are implemented here. For example, we did meet with Teresa Mosqueda and representatives from the Executive Climate Office at the Vashon United Methodist Church about the solar panels, the batteries, the Vashon Youth and Family Services, the food bank, all of those resources, facilities, and attention coming together in a place that can be survivable in the aftermath of a storm or an earthquake or during the really coldest winter days and coldest winter nights as a resilience hub. And so that is a model of how we can bring our community together with King County's climate action plan to really address that crisis of the climate change that we have. But here's Teresa Mosqueda talking about at the meeting where the plan was approved.
For our colleague, thank you very much, Tree Chair, Councilmember Quinn, for your leadership on this. I'm excited that the Strategic Climate Action Plan update is in front of us and that the amendments include a number of items that came directly from District 8. So a huge shout out to our community partners in District 8 who are actively tracking and pushing for and successfully articulating the need for various amendments that will help further our climate justice goals here in King County. Some of the amendments that were included, because you know when you do all this work, sometimes you don't get a chance to really feature the details. So I want to pull out some of those components that were included. I'm especially excited about the partnership and advocacy with state partners at the Washington State Ferries Advocacy Group, who helped develop incentives to reduce the per-person emissions through their per-foot pricing, carpool priority, and electric vehicle incentives. Another item is the support included here for water taxi electrification and on-island transit enhancements to create better connections to the water taxis, such as a shuttle. White, don't get me started on the need for a shuttle on Vashon Island, but we're getting more and more people to use the water taxi, which is good for our climate goals. It's good for the health and well-being of individuals. It's good for the health and well-being of our local economy as well. We have added supports for solar energy into this, including incentives for in partnership with the state legislature and adding rooftop and community solar policies to our building decarbonization goals with green bonding and strong labor standards to fund and build these green energy assets. And we're adding a pilot project to explore distributed energy networks such as home batteries, electric vehicles, and renewables in unincorporated area, including on Vashon and Murray Island. And we're adding water efficiency measures such as irrigation or appliances to the scope of the county's Green Building Education and Incentives Program. We're pursuing a wildfire and utility partnership that expands wildfire mitigation to include utility grid modernization and assessment of fire ignition risks from older infrastructure. So I want to emphasize my support for this proposal, all of the detail that went into the initial proposal and the enhancements made by the legislative branch, and the strong partnership that we have with labor and climate activists to accomplish
this. So that Teresa Mosqueda talked about is because there's a group of us on Vashon Murray Island who are identifying those items that are really important climate actions and bringing them forward. Mm-hmm. And if some of those sound familiar to you, it's because at the Vashon Murray Community Council, there was a motion that included basically every one of those items that Teresa mentioned. So there's a few other things that she didn't mention that she also added into the Strategic Climate Action Plan. For example, expanding programs to improve building weatherization, conducting a battery energy storage system siting analysis on Vashon Murray Island, which basically is energy storage in case the power does go out. The idea that if you put solar panels on your house and your value of your property goes up, you shouldn't be penalized by tax increases, your property tax increases. You know, you should maybe ramp that up slowly over time. Production and use of biochar, programs that extend the benefits of being able to switch from to electric utilities. You know, those apply to homeowners. They don't apply right now to community-based or faith-based organizations. Hmm. And basically things like a 1 megawatt solar array on the old landfill cap. So those are things that were pressed that she did bring forward. There's a few other things that we think would be really important to pursue as well. There are some things actually that are going on right now, which, for example, are looking for raising funds to be able to put solar on top of the Vashon Island School District buildings. And the other thing we'd like them to do is make sure that that action plan addresses the goal of greenhouse gas reduction that the county has identified. They're not quite there yet. They need more climate actions. But this ability to go ahead and seek grant funds for putting solar into our community is not just happening at the school district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're applying to the Rosebellen community, which is one of the affordable homeownership communities under Vashon Household Land Trust. 19 homes looking at a Department of Commerce grant to put solar on every new roofs and solar on all of those affordable homes, which would be fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I will say that one thing, if you want to learn more about this, there will be a report at the Vashon Murray Community Council board meeting. This is going to be 7 p.m. at the Land Trust on November 6th. There may also be a more in-depth report at the next Vashon Murray Community Council meeting. But at the board meeting, there will be the report and discussion of where we stand with this climate action plan and the advocacy that so many communities and organizations on the island have come together to advocate for this. And the next step, like I mentioned, the meeting that we had at the Methodist Church, if you're interested in working together to implement these climate action plans, get in touch with me. I'll connect you with the organization that's doing the work. Kevin@indivisiblevashon.org is the best way to reach me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, all of these green initiatives that you're talking about, right, all of that money is coming, trickles down from the federal government, down from the state government, down mm-hmm. through the county government. You know, most private homeowners, business owners, right, communities of faith don't have the funding necessary, you know, mm-hmm. to access or deploy these green initiatives, which we know are so important. And it just really, you know, as we look at what's happening with our fiscal situation, you know, mm-hmm. coming down from the federal government, the state, the county, we are going to have to do more with less. But as some of our partners in government are saying, there is no more with less. We're just now to a point where we're going to do less with less. And that is, I think, a really stark reality that we're going to be looking at in Washington State and King County.
And so the importance of bringing those community organizations, community leaders together, how can we work together in a collaborative way to be able to make progress, even in the challenge of not as much funding as we would like to have. Mm-hmm. But there is still the Climate Commitment Act. Polluters in Washington still have to pay into that fund. There is a way for us to, you know, collect money from those who pollute for free to be able to repair the damage they do. So there's alternatives. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as robust as we once had.
Yeah.
So, Amy, you mentioned earlier about going to a meeting with Balducci, who's one of the candidates for King County Executive. First time we've had a really contested election for 20 years
yeah.
or so, so it'll be interesting. But I noticed going through my ballot, very few of the votes this time are contested. Often they're just one candidate. Why should people get out and vote if there's only one candidate?
Right. Well, as probably some of our friends on the other side of the aisle may decry, right, that Democratic lock on things. And, you know, there is sort of a Democratic machine, and they are really good at moving their farm team up the pipeline, which is fantastic for Democratic values in Washington State and locally, right? But it does sort of, you know, the primaries, quote unquote, are sort of done inter-party, right, and intra-party before anything hits the ballot. But I would say mandates, right, that those legislators going down to Olympia with a mandate from that community, especially on Vashon, right? If our state legislators know, hey, you've got a big voting block out there that's going to, you know, hold your feet to the fire, that's going to maybe be interested if someone else new comes up through the pipeline, right? That's still very important to have them hear from us, and they do hear from us, and we hear that they hear from us. So I would say it is still absolutely critical that you vote, and so proud to be, you know, here where folks do vote. Again, Balducci was talking yesterday about, you know, kind of off cycle elections, midterms, and that, you know, maybe 37 to 40% will turn out to vote. And I thought, I bet that's 50 to 55 to 60 on Vashon.
Yeah.
Right. So that can make us an important voting block, right? So even in uncontested elections, that means that, you know, folks who may be distracted by Overtown politics will continue to pay attention to Vashon if they know they can pull a few thousand votes, right? Yeah. And I wish that we had played harder in this executive race, because I think it's going to be incredibly impactful to Vashon, to King County. But, you know, the executive in this time of extreme sort of crisis, I would call it fiscal crisis, at the local, state, and national level, leadership at the county level, where they, you know, understand what they're doing, how to do it, how to get things done. They understand funding levers that you can pull, and efficiencies is going to be really, really critical, right? I think the values conversation is important to have, and there's some differences in, I think, values and approach to values. I was, again, we'll say, just from the, you know, my chair here on Vashon Island, really impressed with how Balducci talked about unincorporated Vashon Island. But, you know, we may not want more taxes, but if we want to even keep what we've got, they're going to be coming down the pipeline. And that's just something, if somebody's telling you different, they also got a bridge to sell you, right? It is just, we are going to have to pay more to keep what we've got. And that's something that I am always appreciative when folks are honest about that, when legislators are honest about that.
I'd also say that endorsement is really important because we have in our country, given our system, we have people who are in very conservative districts. We have people in very liberal districts. To be able to create the opportunity for progressive voices, those legislators need to know that we have their back. And the same is true for conservative voices. And if the system works the way we want it to, those voices come together, right, to find solutions, to represent all of the different perspectives and aspects. We're not seeing as much of that sort of cooperative deliberation, I think, as many of us would like to see. But it's important to realize that a person like Pramila Jayapal can have a lot of freedom, you know, to really speak for progressive causes, because she knows that, you know, she might lose, you know, from 85% of the vote down to 75%, but she's going to keep her seat.
Mm-hmm. So, Truman, let me pivot that around to the airport commissioner election.
Well, it's sort of running unopposed. I mean, Amy and I are both candidates in this election, right. And Amy, you're contested.
I am, and mine is not.
But I really appreciate the mandate. I mean, if I get a lot of votes, it means that people are supporting what I'm trying to get down there. Mm-hmm. And I need to tell you one thing about King County. You know, I've told you before on the air that we're working on an emergency response group from the airport, like the boat folks have. And I've just recently discovered that we do have a major issue, and that is that King County will not back us for our emergency worker designation. And Clallam County, they're backing their people, and they did get their emergency worker card. And I understand that the people at Walla Walla, the county there, they may also get their emergency worker cards. King County is not backing us. And so we really need to put pressure on King County to have them approve these emergency worker
cards. Because that's insurance coverage.
Insurance. But our requirement already is that we have $1 million liability. Each individual pilot has to have that on their aircraft. So that part of it is, you know, they're covering that. They're only going to cover anything in excess of that. So, and that's going to be pretty rare and remarkable, I think. So anyway, the pressure is going to have to come on King County. I'm waiting till the election's over to start putting pressure. I have been talking to the people at the state, however. And they're very supportive of us. So,
anyway. So we're down to what, the last minute or so? Is that right? 2 minutes. Okay. Truman, we've got what do we have coming up next week?
Well, as we said, I generally don't have haven't been required to get guests, but I actually am working on one. There is a movement afoot to help, with the winter coming on, to help the homeless population here on the island. And I'm working on trying to get one of these people who are working toward improving their conditions to come on the show. And I'm not sure if there's a whole hour's worth of content. That's kind of what I'm working on right now, to see if there's a full hour's worth of
content. We're perfectly capable of filling.
Yeah, I know we are. I know we are.
As we have demonstrated this hour.
That's right.
There's a few items on Bruce's agenda we haven't gotten to.
That is one of the things I'm working on. So we'll see how that comes out.
Well, sounds good. So I think we're at the end of our time here. So for Truman, Kevin, Craig, and Amy, I'm Bruce. We thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week on The Brown Briefly.